Good morning. May grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. My name is Jay Weeb, and my wife Jessie is with me here this morning also. It is a pleasure and a privilege to be with you this morning on this third Advent. One more Advent before we celebrate Christmas. And in the last few weeks, I'm sure you have heard about the hope and the preparation as we are waiting for the Christmas season. But not just for the Christmas season, but also Advent means a time of awaiting for Jesus' return once again. And it is a time that as a Christian, as a believer, we should look forward to with joy. And that is my topic for this morning, is joy of the Advent season. And again, I would just bid you all a very hearty welcome, whether you are at home here or if you're a visitor. My prayer is that you would be blessed this morning as together we worship and as we look into God's word. Would you join me in prayer? Our Heavenly Father, this morning we come before your throne of grace. And Lord, we thank you for this opportunity that you have given to us once again to gather in your house with your people. And where, Lord, we look forward to what you want to say to us this morning. Lord, I pray that each heart that has come would be receptive to your word, that we would have come with anticipation, with joy in our hearts to hear the message you want to lay in our hearts today. I pray, Lord, also that you would be with me, your humble servant, that the words that I will be speaking, that they will be empowered by you and that you alone would be honored and glorified. We pray for each one that is taking a part in this service, that is serving in any which way, whether it be in music or in the sound or whatever that may be. We know that we all together make this work so that we have a time where we can worship and celebrate. Lord, again, we just pray that your joy would be in our hearts and may your Holy Spirit be in our midst. In Jesus' name we ask, amen.
End of Blue Hymnals, number 96. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. Number 96. We invite you to stand.
Jesus.
Number 89. Thou didst leave thy throne. 89. Number 83, O come all ye faithful. 83.
Triumphant, O come ye to
In Philippians 4, verse 4, Paul writes an admonition to us, or an encouragement. And he says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. Paul, writing to the Philippian church, is telling them to continually live a life of joy in the Lord. Why is he saying this? If we go back to chapter 3, prior to this admonition that he gives here, Paul speaks of casting off the old self, grasping the righteousness of Christ's redemption, and then living in a joyful anticipation of the Lord Jesus' coming kingdom. He says in verses 20 to 21 of chapter 3, "For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself." Paul, in a sense, is saying, keep your spiritual eyes focused on the Savior, and you will experience true joy in life. Now, one of the things people love about Christmas is that it is a joyful season. All season long, we celebrate with beautiful music, with singing carols, friendly greetings, the decorations, all the good food, and remembering and creating memories that make us feel, we could say, all warm and fuzzy inside, right? We usually celebrate by getting together with family and friends and by possibly exchanging gifts. It is a joyful time of year. But I can't help feeling that sometimes the world hijacks our joy, the true joy of Christmas. Because when you come right down to it, the real joy of Christmas is not from the lights and the decorations and the music and the food, but it is the meaning of Christmas. So why do we celebrate Christmas? It is the amazing good news of Jesus Christ born as a Savior into this world. From beginning to end, the Christmas story is punctuated with moments of joy, and they all center around the birth of Jesus Christ. You can't get around it. You can't spell Christmas without Christ. And you can't enter into the season, into this season with true joy without Jesus. And this morning I want to consider several points about joy at Christmas. One, how Jesus brings the joy of salvation. And then the joy will then lead to proclamation. And then also joy leads to praise. All three of these are truths that are found in the scripture passage, which tell us the Christmas story, which I won't be reading today. And so all three of these truths together really capture the true meaning of joy at Christmas. So firstly, Jesus brings the joy of salvation. First of all, so Jesus brings joy in so many areas of life. But the joy of Jesus is so much associated, or especially associated at the time of Christmas, with the salvation that he brought. The psalmist David, in Psalm 51, verse 12, speaks about this joy of salvation. He says, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit." You see, David wrote these words after committing adultery with Bathsheba, and David had sinned greatly against God, but he still understood the connection between salvation and joy. He repented of his sin, he asked God's forgiveness, and he asked God to restore to him the joy of his salvation. We find the same connection between salvation and joy in Isaiah. In Isaiah chapter 12, verse 3, Isaiah writes this: "Therefore with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation." We can draw the waters out of the wells of salvation that we have through Jesus Christ, and that will give us joy. What a beautiful picture that Isaiah paints here. Isaiah is prophesying about, for this passage we could apply to the second coming of Jesus Christ, which is a very significant part of the focus of Advent when we go through the Advent season. Jesus has come, but now we are looking forward to Jesus coming back again. There is no true joy without salvation, and there is no true salvation without joy. The two go together, and they especially go together in those scriptures that tell us about the Christmas story. For example, we read in the Gospel of Luke how when Mary was pregnant with Jesus, she went to visit her cousin Elizabeth. And Elizabeth at this time was also pregnant with John the Baptist. And we read in Luke, in the first chapter, in Luke chapter 1, verses 39 to 45, where Mary goes to visit Elizabeth, it says, "Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste unto a city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord." So as Mary enters the house, and John the Baptist, who was not yet born, but Elizabeth was carrying him, he was filled with the Holy Spirit already from before he was born. And he says here that he leaps for joy. Why would that be? Because, as Elizabeth put it, Mary was the mother of her Lord. Now, the Holy Spirit's role is to glorify Jesus as Savior. And so when Jesus enters into the house, John the Baptist, who is filled with the Holy Spirit, gets excited that Jesus, the Savior, has come. Another great example of Jesus bringing the joy of salvation is the wise men in the Gospel of Matthew. They traveled this great distance to see the Messiah and to worship him. They had seen his star in the east, but they didn't know exactly where he was to be born, so they stop in Jerusalem along the way to inquire about where this has all taken place. And they ask for more information, as we read in Matthew chapter 2, in verses 9 to 10. Is when they had heard the king, so the wise men, after they had inquired of the king, it says they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, until it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. They rejoiced to find the place where Jesus was born. Why did they rejoice? Because Jesus was the Messiah and had come to bring salvation to his people. Salvation and joy belong together. just like joy and Christmas belong together. And as Jesus came, and as we enter into the Christmas season where we celebrate his joy, it is a season where we remember, or we celebrate and we remember the joy of the salvation that Jesus brought. Then when we have this joy of salvation, it will lead us to proclaiming it to others. Jesus brings the joy of salvation, and it will lead us to share that good news with others. We find this truth demonstrated for us in the story of the angels and the shepherds, which we find in Luke chapter 2 in verses 8 to 12. In Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 12, it says, "There were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." Here was that unbelievable appearance of an angel to the shepherds. To the shepherds, no less. The lowest of the low. In the eyes of many, the angel would have never appeared to the shepherds. Shepherds would seldom be found praising and worshiping God. And as a result, they were looked down upon as anything other than worshipers of God. Their reputation was lowly at best. And the religious people snubbed them and ignored them. And they were despised because they were misfits. They were, in the eyes of the righteous, they were dirty. They probably didn't smell very good. But here, the angel of the Lord came to bring that good news to those lowly shepherds. He gave the first message of his son's coming to the common shepherds. And the angel's message was one of reassurance and good news. He proclaimed that the Messiah's birth, and he charged the shepherds to go and visit. And he gave them a sign, "You will find this babe lying in a manger." But if we notice in verse 10 about the news about Jesus' birth, it says there, "And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." It is not only good news of joy, it is good news of great joy. And it is not only good news of great joy, it is great joy to all people. But how will all people know about the good news of great joy unless we share it? Good news is for sharing. And there is no better news than the news that the angels proclaimed to the shepherds that first Christmas morn. "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." So then what did the shepherds do? After they had received this good news of great joy, further in Luke chapter 2, verses 15 to 18, it says, "And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. See, in verse 17, it says, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. They didn't keep the news to themselves. In verse 18, reading on, and all they that had heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. I'm sure many people wondered at what these lowly shepherds were all excited about and the joy that they were sharing of the good news of Jesus being born, the Messiah being born. And it was being brought to them by the most unlikely of people, the shepherds. These excited shepherds went to seek out the evidence. They immediately decided they would go. As they said to one another, let us now go. And they rushed to see for themselves. There was a sense of urgency that they were going to go and see what had happened. They acted with haste. They rushed. They hurried to go and see. And they found it just like the angel had told them. When the shepherds heard this good news of great joy that was for all people, first they checked it out for themselves. They went and they saw as the angel had told them. But then after they had found it, as the angel had said, then what did they do? They spread the word to others. Because good news is for sharing. And this was good news of great joy for all people. And it would have been wrong for them to keep it to themselves. They shared the message that they had been given. They first experienced seeing the Savior, this Messiah, for themselves. And then they shared their experience wherever they went. They were the first witnesses, or they were the first to bear witness of Jesus in this world, or of Jesus being born in this world. And they also caused a stir among the people where they shared it. As verse 18 says, and all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. Now, it doesn't specify or say anything about these hearers that heard the message that they ever responded or that they went to see the Christ child or if they were moved to go and see him for themselves. But the shepherds had the joy of proclaiming the good news, and they could not contain it within them, in themselves. They went about witnessing to the people and with great joy. Then thirdly, joy will also lead us to praise, or joy will lead to praise. We find this truth demonstrated for us in a couple of examples of the Christmas story. And the first example of it is of Mary when she hears the words of prophecy from Elizabeth that we looked at just a little bit earlier. Mary was filled with joy and wonder as her cousin Elizabeth spoke words of blessing upon her. Blessing and favor over her and the child that she was carrying. And Mary also, it caused her joy to overflow in praise. What is sometimes referred to as a song of Mary in Luke chapter 1, verses 46 to 49, it says, And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden, for behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. As I said, these verses are sometimes or often referred to as the Song of Mary. Mary magnifies and glorifies the Lord for choosing her to be the mother of Jesus. But this joy is still the joy of salvation. Mary rejoices in God, her Savior. God was the subject of Mary's praise and adoration and her song. She was not singing about herself. She was not praising herself. She was not thinking what great things she would accomplish. She says, my soul doth magnify the Lord. It means to proclaim the greatness of. The Lord was the subject of Mary's song, the subject of her praise and her rejoicing. She is filled with joy at God's goodness to her. And the joy overflows in a song of praise. We also find this same pattern with the shepherds as they share the good news of Jesus with the people everywhere as they return from Bethlehem. In Luke chapter 2, verse 20, it says, and the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Joy will lead us to proclamation, to proclaim what it is that gives us joy in our hearts. And as these shepherds went out and they spread the word about Jesus and his birth, it led them to joy in praising God, glorifying and praising God. As God had chosen them, these shepherds, to be eyewitnesses of the birth of Jesus Christ, the Messiah. And I'm sure they never forgot the things that they had heard and seen that night, as had been told them by the angel of God. The message that the angel gave to the shepherds that first Christmas night is just as applicable today, 2,000 and some years later, right here, right now. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. There is no true joy without salvation. And there is no true salvation without joy. We sometimes say Jesus is the reason for the season. But if you have never trusted Jesus as your Savior, then you're missing out on the joy of Christmas. The world around us is very busy, and there's many celebrations going on. But how much joy is there? Is it an empty joy that as the season comes and goes, then the joy is also gone? But if you do know Jesus as your Savior, then you can have that joy that remains. But then you also need to spread the word. Remember, good news is for sharing. Just like these shepherds, they shared the good news. And if you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then don't forget to praise God. Praise God for your salvation. Praise him for his amazing grace. Praise him for the great love that he had in sending his son, Jesus, to be your Savior. Praise him for his goodness and kindness in forgiving your sins. And praise him for the miracle of Christmas, that God the Son took on human flesh and was born into our world as a little child, as a little baby, and that we can draw praise out of that great reservoir, that well of blessings that God has given through his gift of salvation. As we read earlier in Isaiah chapter 12, verse 3, it says, therefore with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. Psalmist David proclaims his joyful worship of God in Psalm 145, verses 1 to 5. It says, I will extol thee, my God, O King. I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise thy works to another, and shall declare thy mighty acts. I will speak the glorious honor of thy majesty and of thy wondrous works. And then in the following chapter, in verses 1 and 2, he continues. He says, praise ye the Lord, praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, I will praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto my God while I have any being. Then we may ask the question of ourselves. Am I filled with the joy? Am I filled with true joy this Christmas season? We should be, because God is good. Jesus Christ has come, and salvation is ours if we but ask, if we but come to him. Christmas is about joy. Joy comes from Jesus, and Christmas is all about that Jesus that brings us joy. Again, our theme verse of Philippians 4, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice. And as we are in this third week of Advent, let's remember the good news of Jesus' birth. The good news of Jesus' birth has the power to bring us great joy this Christmas. And that joy is not dependent on what's going on in our life or what's going on in this world that we look around and think has completely gone off the rails. It doesn't depend on the people that we are with. It doesn't depend on the gifts that we give or the gifts that we may receive. No earthly thing may ever give us complete joy. But the gift of Jesus Christ will give us joy. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let's close in prayer. Lord, we confess that our joy comes from you and from you alone. That joy that flooded the hearts of the shepherds, the angels, the wise men, the hosts of heaven, and Mary and Joseph. And this joy still has the power to overwhelm our hearts with rejoicing. O Father, you offer that same joy to us today, just as you did then. If we know you and recognize Jesus as our Savior and Lord, you give us a reason to celebrate. As you gave us that unspeakable gift of salvation through Jesus Christ, your Son, who came to dwell among us. Lord Jesus, that you were willing to go to Calvary, to the cross for all of us, to overcome death, and that you rose from death so that we could have life, that we could have forgiveness for our sins, and that we could have eternal life when we accept you as our Lord and Savior. Lord, we know that our joy doesn't come from our jobs or our family or our relationships or money or whatever it may be, our joy doesn't come from what we have here on earth or who we are. Our joy is a gift. It is a gift that you gave to us at Christmas. And our joy is wrapped up in that Savior, Jesus Christ the Lord. Lord Jesus, we ask that you would flood our hearts with joy this Advent season as we celebrate and as we remember and as we reflect on that good news of the birth of Jesus. For we ask this all in the name of Jesus, and we thank you, Lord, for hearing our prayers. Amen. This time, I also want to give you an opportunity for whatever else may lay on your hearts to go before the Lord in prayer. I'd invite you at this time forever, whoever is able physically to kneel, would you kneel with me in a time of silent prayer? May the Lord hear our prayers and be gracious unto us. So at this time, I want to just express my thanks for you for coming and taking part in the service this morning. We want to, from my wife Jessie and myself, from our home to yours, may you all have a very, very blessed Christmas filled with the true joy of Jesus. So I'd like to close with a benediction today found in Romans chapter 15, verses 5 to 6. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And you may go in peace with the Lord. I don't know if you still have ushers coming. Still have ushers coming forward? No. Again, thank you for coming. May you have a blessed rest of the day.